J.A.Z. Redford. I live in Fullerton, California.
Hello, I'm Ben Parry, and I live in London.
Hello, I'm Roxana Knifnik, and I'm from London.
You are here for, have been here for the American Choral Directors Association. How is it attending as a composer? Because there's all these amazing choirs and directors. How has it been for you?
Well, it's been a very fruitful week. It's a great place to network with other composers, with other music directors, other people who are singing material that that you're listening to, that you want to have your material sung by them. So it's a great place to kind of come together with other people that are doing things that they're either like what you're doing or are beneficial to you in some way.
I know you've actually are guilty of composing while you were here. There's certainly the networking sort of things. Are there some inspirations that you've seen while you've been here?
Oh yeah, this has been amazing. I don't think we really have anything like this at this scale in the UK. And it's been very interesting to hear from other publishers, other choral directors, and actually to meet a whole host of people that we wouldn't otherwise see. Been particularly interesting coming over from the UK, where we have a very strong choral tradition, but to see this sheer number of people who are enjoying what they're listening and hearing to and music that they're looking at has been really quite inspiring, actually, I have to say. Yes, I have been in my hotel room writing a piece of music. but that's just part of this, is that you hear these amazing choirs performing in front of an audience of aficionados, and it is really quite inspiring to hear all this stuff. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I know you have a very recent release that has to be kind of neat to be there for people that actually might be programming this and could maybe make a huge difference in it's always exciting to have a world premiere, but then that second performance is probably a little harder to garner.
Yes, absolutely. And what was fantastic was that we didn't just have Peter's Edition, who are Ben and my publishers, but Naxos were also there, and they're the American distributors for Warner Classics, on which my new CD is. And so I managed to get like a sort of double whammy working and introducing and getting that CD out there. But also the other fantastic thing was that one of the choirs on my CD, Voce Zaid, who were managed by Peter's Edition Management, were here, and they performed the first track of my CD a couple of times at the conference, just like almost like what's it called when you like a flash mob kind of thing. Everybody would be talking, and suddenly Voce Zaid was singing it, and so it's been a fantastic opportunity for me and really inspirational. I mean, hearing all these American choirs and this new repertoire that I haven't heard before, and I'm now feeling quite frustrated because my next choral commission isn't till next year. It's all instrumental this year. I kind of wish this happened next year.
I know, to me, sometimes it's an odd mix that as a composer, we're sort of in a room alone, you know, whether it's a keyboard or a voice. It's maybe singing in the shower, I don't know. Everyone's technique's different, or even in front of the computer. But it's, to me, these sort of things might be a nice way to talk with those people who are not only choosing the music, but also others that are creating music.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to hear the other repertoire, to hear what other composers are doing. It's encouraging to know that you're not alone, you're not working in isolation. And it's also just the energy of creativity that you hear coming from the other composers and the sparks of inspiration in their music. It's just really a delight for me to hear that. And I find that inspiring, and it motivates my own writing. It gives me a sense of a purpose, a goal. And it's kind of, there's an aspect sort of competition too, in the sense that you hear somebody doing something really great and you think, I want to do that too. You know, I want to mix it up and get in there and do something interesting. And so it kind of drives the creative process, I think.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, because I know you're involved in education and have a wonderful history with the Swinkle Singers and whatnot. That tradition is important. I mean, obviously there is a rich tradition in England. Is it What would sort of grade would you give the American choirs you've heard here, and that aspect of trying to pass that torch along?
Yeah, well, I'm actually here with two hats on. As Roxana said, we're published by Peter's Edition, but also I've just taken over the National Youth Choirs of Great Britain, which is a wonderful organisation of eight choirs working with children from 9 until their mid-20s, and a lot of them going off to be professional singers. And our tagline with the National Youth Choir is inspiring the next generation of young singers. And my word, have we seen some incredible young university choirs here. I mean, the one we saw a couple of days ago where all three of us were sitting there and we heard these performances, and we all looked at each other at the end and said, well, you know, this is just awesome. Is that a word you use here? Awesome? but you know, this, it's so important. I mean, I grew up, I sang in my dad's church choir. I was always going to do music. I was always going to be a singer. And now, you know, I'm at the age where I am, and I have children who want to sing themselves. And it's incumbent upon us to be able to inspire the next generation, not only through our writing, but also in our actions. So showing them the best pedagogy of teaching singing to them and looking after their voices. And there's some really amazing stuff going on with some of these choral conductors in America. We can learn a few things or two in the UK. So I was interested to be here with my hat on as National Youth Choir. And I'm thinking, I've talked to a lot of universities to see whether we can do some kind of tour here in the next 2 years. I'd love the National Youth Choir to come over here and showcase at one of these amazing concerts. But, you know, they'd have to pull their socks off. Put socks up, because there's a lot of there's a lot of competition here, and it's great to see. It's really good.
Is there and this has been a wonderful tradition. I've heard recordings of the youth choir, and obviously there are places like the Vienna Boys Choir that are sort of famous. There have been some New York choirs I know that have the American Boy Choir, that sort of thing, that are
yes,
around.
I worked with them about 6 years ago, the American Boy Choir.
And I know there's a great movement that sort of Gustavo Dudamel has been sort
Indeed,
of the,
yeah.
you know
it's
such a
yeah.
yeah. And do that sort of thing, do you think can translate with choirs, that sort of thing, that excitement and that youth in choir, and you don't have to do drugs, that sort of thing of
no,
you know.
It's very interesting you say that, and I think singing, particularly in the last 5 years or so in the UK particularly, has become quite cool. We have a couple of celebrity people who have showcased things on the TV, which of course is that great medium, and also the radio as well, and competitions, choral competitions that we have, the whole a cappella movement. I mean, you mentioned Swingle Singers. I come from that. I mean, there's a massive movement there now. So never has the time been better, really, to engender that whole idea of singing being a very positive thing. And, you know, how lucky are the three of us that we can write choral music and we can get these groups to perform it. It's a real treat. So, yes, there's always work to be done, but it's nice to be able to share it over here with ACDA. And I'm just sort of burning with ideas at the moment. I'm just about to take over the choir, so I'm thinking, oh, yeah, perhaps I could do that, and perhaps we could sort of lock into that idea. So there's lots of things to take home to the UK.
I have a question probably for all three of you. It's been great to catch you all the different questions, so I want to make sure that you all get a chance to answer. But the idea of technology these days, we were actually at lunch sort of talking about how multitasking are sort of the norm these days, and just the technology of how we communicate, how we work, whether or not, you know, it's a written note or an email. I know that sort of has changed in composition and maybe a lot in recording, and I was going to ask how that's affected you as a composer.
Well, for me, particularly in the last 10 years, my interest in world music, music from other faiths, other cultures, has really mushroomed. And the main source of research finding this music is on the internet. And, you know, I'll find stuff on YouTube, and it's everywhere on the internet. I can just find it from a little shed in the bottom of my garden. So that's amazing. That's amazing. And also finding people, you know, trying to find people who might be experts in this kind of music, who might live in London. So I really don't know how I could have done without it. And the other thing is that I have this weird thing. I'm actually sort of rhythmically dyslexic. So I can hear rhythm, I can appreciate rhythm, but I can't do it. I could never conduct. I can't dance. I can't play in time. And so I really rely on my notation software to hear on the playback what I've written is what I had thought in my head. So all those things are vitally important.
How about you?
Well, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with technology. I mean, everything that Roxana has said is true, and I benefit from all of that. On the other side of it, for me, I have to guard somewhat jealously my silences, because I have a difficult time generating music in an atmosphere of multiple obligations or just noise, having to process. I learned to write with my children running around the house, so I have been able to at least address that in some respect. But more and more, I feel jealous about having quiet, you know, to write and to be able to generate ideas. My process is that I will write away from an instrument and write by hand to find the way into a piece, and then once I've written part of it in that manner, then I'll go to the computer and I'll data enter, and then I can listen back to that at that point and cross check myself, and then maybe I have better ideas, you know, as I work with it that way. But the relationship, I begin with quiet and a pencil scratching against some paper, and then move to the electronics to help finish to develop the ideas.
This is fascinating. just being in the room with two other composers and hearing their approach to things, because we all do things differently, and of course we all come out with different results, as indeed it should be. We were talking earlier about Stockhausen, and actually the thing I love about one of his pieces in particular is that he was making all these weird noises while he was composing, and his wife told him to shut up because the kids were trying to get to sleep, so he started humming instead, and he did all this kind of humming stuff and came out with these amazing overtones just through quiet humming, and there the piece Stimmung was born, and it's one of my favorite pieces. Interesting thing with the internet, yeah, I have three kids who just, you know, require its daily usage, and so do I guess I've sold my soul to the Twitter god. But we went for there was a really interesting talk at the conference from Sean Hickey of Naxos, who was talking about YouTube and what a powerful tool it is, and he said, you know, you've got to embrace it, you've got to put your music on YouTube, you know, when there are 40 million hits every quarter of a year, it's just that's what we have to do, because that's the way forward. Who knows what they'll be in 5 years time or 10 years time, because I mean we wouldn't have imagined that 10 years ago we would have had all these things, and I the way I approach my music is that I write straight to computer. I use the music software. I would hope that people realize it's my hands are capable of doing it. I having taught in a school where I see kids sort of just putting notes in arbitrarily and Sibelius playing it back, and it sounds horrible. But I think in the right hand, Sibelius and Finale and all these music softwares can actually be a huge help and incredibly powerful. Just like Roxana was saying about, you know, being able to help her hear the rhythms that she has in her head. You know, with me harmonically, you know, I've got an idea of where I'm going harmonically, but sometimes, you know, I don't write the right chord and I change it, and Sibelius plays it back and I go, yeah, that's the one I wanted. So it's fascinating, isn't it? The tools that we have, we use in the right way, but we should embrace it. We really should, because it's the way forward. And as I say, I wonder what we'll be saying in 10 years' time.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. It's a... I think what would have been like to be around the printing press.
Do you remember those days when we hired Gutenberg? Gutenberg was a lad.
You know, those sort of things. The very funny YouTube video of they have a book and it's new technology and they're complaining about the, yes. Well, they can't scroll. You know, they can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's very funny. You know, so this new technology of a book.
Yeah.
What are you writing? What are you writing right now? Anything you can share?
Yes, I'm just this very moment immersing myself in Lutosławski because the Leopoldinum Orchestra in Wrocław have asked me to write a piece that's an homage to Lutosławski because this year is his centenary, and an homage to my father, Andrzej Pnufnik, because next year is his centenary. So, but I'm ashamed to say I don't know very much Lutosławski, so I've got a massive playlist on my iPod that I'm supposed to be listening to all the way home from Dallas to London, and trying to get into a Lutosławski frame of mind.
Oh, cool. Mm. How about you? Anything on the sketching room floor or anything that you're... writing right now?
Yeah, well, right now I'm helping Randy Newman. I'm orchestrating on the film side of things, orchestrating his score for Monsters University, which is a prequel to Monsters, Inc. So that's the most immediate thing I have to deal with. But I have a couple of choral cycles. I began with a single piece each from a poet from Oxford and Cambridge a couple of years ago, and I'm going to complete those this year. And I've got a violin sonata I'm working on. I've got a bunch of pieces, song cycle of Gerard Manley Hopkins poems for baritone, just some various things like that that are on the back burner. Got another couple of film projects lined up with Tom Newman and James Horner later this year.
Oh, wow.
So they're guys that I work with regularly.
Oh, cool. And you just finished a piece.
I did, although I just wish I could drop names in like that. Steven Spielberg. But it's great. This is where Jack and I met, working on a film in London, and yeah. We share so many interests, and it's great that he's here. I finished a piece this morning. I've just written a short choral work conducting the BBC Singers. Next month. It's the first time I've worked with them, actually, although I've known their work for a long, long time. And they've got a concept of the programme, but the producer was saying that he didn't have many pieces that set the words in the beginning. So I thought, okay, let's do one. So I've cooked something up, and I finished it. I've just got a double bar line at the end, a finishing bar, but I think I need to go back now and have a look at it, because there'll be lots of things I need to change. But that's what I find so interesting with writing on computer, is that I can go back and say, I didn't really mean that. I'll just change it. So hopefully that'll be on the radio next month with me conducting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned words and poetry, and obviously we're at a choral convention, and that sort of thing I think is always so interesting to find those right words. And I imagine myself, it's a little bit like that sort of sculpture, that we just remove the pieces that that wasn't there, and then we're removing the chords that weren't to these words. Is that a little bit of how you, when you read something, are you always thinking, oh, maybe this has got my, you know, great harmonic overtones, or maybe this has got my, you know, my score to it? Sometimes when I'm listening, it's hard for me to just enjoy music. I'm analyzing it. When you guys read, is that sort of think, oh, maybe this is my next song?
Well, it's interesting because a young man at the convention asked me a similar kind of question. He asked me, how do you go about searching for texts? And I told him, I don't really search for texts. I write out of the fruit of my own reading. I love poetry, and I've been reading it regularly for years and years and years, and so I've got a huge collection of poems and poetic experience in my reading background. And when it comes time to set, to write something, to text, I generally pick something that I have read and fallen in love with. I want to write to a text that I really care about. I don't want to just pick a text randomly and then write music to it, or use a text as a pretext for writing whatever the heck music I wanted to write, you know, irrespective of what the text is saying. I want to actually, I feel sometimes like a monk illuminating a manuscript. I want to illuminate a text. I want that text to shine, having been through the process of being set with my music. So that's where the texts come from for me. And there's an interesting relationship between cinema and setting text. because for me, having done both, when I'm going about setting the music for a scene in a film, I have to be aware of the rhythms of that scene that are created by dialogue or by cuts or by movement of the characters that have been shot. And so I'm dancing with a particular set of rhythms that are created by the cinematic experience. But the same thing happens when you're setting text, because you have rhythms that have been created by the text, inflections, rhythms of the words, the phrases. And so similarly, I feel like I'm dancing with the text in the way that I am with images. And so for me, all of my cinematic sensibilities are satisfied in setting text, interesting text that has a lot of color and vibrance to it. You know, I want to be able to bring music to that will marry that text well and create something new out of that marriage.
Yeah, there's two things that just crossed my mind, just following on from Jack. Well, one was the they did a big performance of Britten's War Requiem here last night, and of course that sets not only the Mass for the Dead but the poems of Wilfred Owen. In fact, my dad, who's a musician, is a piece that he doesn't like because he says that the Owen poems are just too tragic and too awful. You can't set those things to music. I happen to disagree with him because Britten is one of my favourite composers, and I think actually what he's written musically, not that it enhances the poetry, because you can't enhance a poem that Owen has written, but it just gives it a different slant. There's a different feeling there. It's quite difficult sort of to describe it, but because it's not an enhancement of it, but I think that the music there is incredibly clever, and Britten's done a very clever thing there. And of course, for the reason that you go to Coventry and you see the bombed out cathedral, and of course that spoke to him. The other thing is I work a lot generally with a lyricist called Garth Bardsley, who's an old friend of mine, and most of the choral work that I've written has been to Garth's words. So we have a unique partnership where he writes a poem, and we do a lot of commissions together, and one particular piece that we wrote called Flame that he wrote a very inspiring text, I think, and actually I set it to music quite quickly because the words just really spoke to me, and I went, that's how it goes musically. And it kind of works. Well, I hope it does.
It does.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
But I mean, that's one of those freak things where actually, you know, we just have a working relationship that works really well. We're blessed to be able to set words to music, I think.
I think it's fascinating hearing how different composers react musically to the same text. And we had, was it two Ave Marias or three Ave Marias yesterday at a concert, and I did a fascinating project with two other composers, James McMillan and Will Todd, and we all set the same quite lengthy Padre Pio prayer, and the musical reactions were completely different. I mean, absolutely. So, I mean, if you just heard the music on its own without the words, you wouldn't have no idea that it was on the same subject even, and it's just so fascinating. And I actually, it made me wonder, you know, why people don't do that when they're programming things more often, is to have, you know, several different composers' several different composers' takes on different texts, because I think you can get even more out of words and out of a poem if you hear it in a different light. So I'd love to actually hear more of that, Ben.
Well, I noticed actually, because I haven't heard Roxana's version of Prayer, that's the George Herbert, because I've done one of those as well. And I don't know yours, and you don't know mine.
And I'd love to hear both of them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Jack needs to write one. But you know, that's an interesting thing, because that came out of a commission for a new dean at Ely Cathedral, who's an old family friend. And he loves George Herbert poetry. Now, it just so happens that so do I, because I studied him at school. And so there are many, many reasons why I would like to set George Herbert. And in fact, one of my favourite Britten pieces is Antiphon, which is, again, a George Herbert poem. And of course, there's the five mystical songs by Vaughan Williams, which are just sublime. Mm. So yeah, I think we should perhaps next time we come to ACDA, we should sort of choose a poem and we all come and
oh, what a great idea!
Write one. Actually, get the whole of ACDA.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I love that idea. That's great.
What would that be like?
Oh man, yeah, that could be a whole.
But that's interesting what
conscience.
You were saying about taking the words away and actually the music. Mm-hmm. It just sounds completely different. That's really weird. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I could talk to you guys all day,
yeah,
but I know they're, you know. But it's nice to meet you all, and thanks for.
It's a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.